Thank you everyone for coming. This is such an amazing turnout for the first Artist Life School of the year. So yeah, again, thank you so much for joining us. Our first speaker will be Arissa here, and then we'll go with Bailey and Lee. I'm sure y'all have read up about them from the post, but they have some really exciting work that they do within the arts community in Ōtautahi. So really thankful for them to join us here tonight and talk about their mahi and give us some insight into what's out there and what we can kind of maybe try and pursue ourselves or just acknowledge that it's there. Yeah, thank you so much again. Please welcome all the speakers. Thank you.
Kia ora. My name's Arissa, and I have three current main jobs in the arts. And I feel like I've had so many over the last 3 years since graduating from ILM as well. So I'll try and I'll run through them all. I also will probably have to just read off this thing, unfortunately. I'd love to be able to just talk, but I can't do that. But so at the moment, I am the writing and publications coordinator at the Physics Room, which is a part-time 16-hour a week job. And I'm also a casual technician for Christchurch Art Gallery, which is casual. So it's usually in blocks of like 2 to 6 weeks that I'll be there. And the gaps between that can be months sometimes. And my other job is I'm the founder and facilitator for Vernacular, which is an online platform for art criticism and writing. And I will run through, hopefully a short run through of the, like, it's basically my story over the last 3 years, but it does involve a lot of like precarious jobs and gigging and the gig economy and how I think I got here. So I graduated from ILM. I did sculpture, graduated at the end of 2019. In art school, I was practically minded and interested in how things worked. I wanted to be a technician once I found out what that was, because it was, I just thought it was the best way to get paid to learn how to be a better artist and how to make a good exhibition with like lighting and logistics and how stuff works in that way. And I also got into art writing. And in 2020, I just worked a lot of casual and freelance jobs. And there was the lockdown, but that period I remember as being quite precarious jobs wise. But I was an artist assistant at times, and that was either voluntary or paid. I volunteered at the Physics Room as well, and I got a few paid shifts there on the weekends. And at the end of the year, I got a gig at ILM working as a tech assistant for submission week. So there I learned some of the foundational things, I think, that was a help to getting other technician work. And during this time, I was not only broke and desperate, but I was quite vocal about it. I was also making art and exhibitions and writing for Artbeat, which was my only regular income for a while, which is nothing, it's monthly. I went to a lot of openings, and around that time, that networking, in inverted commas, felt like hard work, but it is what I think helped. A lot of it is about being seen and on people's minds, but that sounds so bad, and it's not, it really doesn't have to be. And it's not worth going to openings and like being seen. It's not worth thinking about it in that way. It's much better to just like go along to things that you're interested in with friends and have a nice time and really just do what is interesting for you. But having said that, it is useful to be on people's minds, I think, in this industry, and have conversations with people about job things that you want to do or whatever you're interested in, and like good things happen. if you leave the house. When Abby started as the director of the physics room 2 years ago, she got me on as the technician for most of the installs. That's where a lot of my confidence and experience came from, and which led me to get other jobs and more experience, and then the casual position at Christchurch Art Gallery, which I now have. I also just outright asked Natalie Baskand at COCA, while she was the exhibitions manager there, for a job, to email me to get me in on the install. And after a while she did. And then I worked in a cafe and I chilled out a little bit, and it was really good to have that steady income. And I was worried it would limit my availability for other work, but it was good to say no to the things that were really random that I was being asked to do. So that felt really, that was a great privilege to be able to do that. At this time as well, I started Vernacular, launching a boosted campaign for funding after an unsuccessful CNZ application. And I realised as well that not everyone can just make up their own job when they don't have a job, but I'll speak to that a bit more later, or the beginning of Vernacular. But really it just came out of it was beginning of 2021 when I was so determined not to be restless and bored like I was in 2020. So I made a lot of work for myself. Yeah, early last year I went for CNZ funding for Vernacular, and that was successful. And in June, July, I got the job as the writing publications coordinator for Physics Room, and also the casual tech job for CAG. And that was like my ideal combo of work things, although publishing and editing and technician work, I don't know, it works for me. They're different things, very different roles, but sometimes I do them both in one day. So to say more about the writing and publications role, in addition to being a general member of the small team at the Physics Room, my main focus is looking after the critical essays we commission, facilitating and prepping for the monthly writing group, developing and looking after any publications we produce. We publish at least one book a year and two issues of our serial publication Correspondence as well. With Correspondence, I've had a lot of freedom. I've got a lot of freedom in that within the constraints of the budget and various other, you know, practical things. But that feels like a real kind of meaty part of my role. And I'm currently working towards a new publication that will launch next month, which is based on an exhibition that we had last year in Ashburton. I don't know how much I can give away, but let's just leave it. Let's just have a secret. And we can all tune in next month when it launches. But that's like one of the jobs where I'm like, when I'm working on that, I feel like I'm really doing my job. Although of course everything is part of the job. But some weeks it feels like I just look at spreadsheets and emails, and that's usually when there's more of the distribution side of things. So there's like the developing a book or a publication, and like a correspondence with contributors and sorting all that side of things out, and then after that's finished there's distribution. And I can speak a lot to distribution, but it's also maybe not that relevant or interesting to some of you, but it is just getting the thing out into the world, and it involves a lot of post office trips. Until recently we signed up with a courier company, which was a real highlight. So they come to us now and take the thing away. But on top of that, or on top of the writing and publications role, I contract to Physics Room as a technician as well. So roughly every 6 weeks, I'll wear a couple of hats in a week or a day, and it works. As a casual technician in the exhibitions team at Christchurch Art Gallery. Yeah, I said that I'll do my couple of days at Physics Room and then a few days at CAG, and today I was there. It's really hard. It's funny. It is hard to describe what that job is, but it is basically, today I was painting walls as part of its team as well. That's important because at the Physics Room or at other galleries, generally the team is smaller, or you'll just be the technician that works with artists and the curator or curators, and you do what they tell you to, and you also negotiate at times the best way to get a thing done. And a lot of the time, I just feel like, some of the time, I feel like I just stand up ladders and hold things, and that's important too. But it's a really cool job. I've got a lot of time for it, and I'm so new to it as well, that like everything, especially at the Christchurch Art Gallery, I'm learning all the time, and I think it's a cool, it's the job that makes the exhibition happen after the artist has done the work and the curators have done the work, and it's all the parts in between, and it's really cool to be part of. And I like to wear purple in that environment, because at Christchurch Art Gallery in particular, the exhibitions team always black, except for us casuals. There's another one in this room, but we're a bit more out there. But vernacular is a different kind of thing since I made it, and it was, I had a lot of fun designing the way it would work and the kind of systems for making it run in the easiest way. So what it is a it's a website that we commission exhibition responses usually, but I'd like to kind of delve into discussion papers and like more theoretical essays, I guess. And it has a focus on artist-run initiatives and the exhibitions that happen in those spaces, or independent projects and those that don't get coverage generally from other platforms. But it was started at a time that there was Pantograph Punch and there wasn't a lot else. If you're into reading things about or writing about art, then that was what there was. If it wasn't Art New Zealand, then Art Now Essays was also happening around that time, which was great. Now there's the Art Paper, which I think really kind of, it feels like vernacular's some of the weight, or like, not that there was any pressure, but pressure to fill a gap. Nothing will ever fill any of the gaps you're trying to fill, but that sounds so dismal. But the Art Paper, I think, is doing a really good job of not only reaching South Island to Waipounaumu exhibitions, but those in smaller spaces and like pop-up galleries and artist-run initiatives, and so that's kind of where vernacular sits in the ecology of things. But within that role, I look after the website and the commissioning. I've got a commissioning editor who helps, and then there's some editing. That's also what I do at the Physics Room, and as part of that job, that's editing and writing and managing the finances, seeking more funding for vernacular, that is, and it's varied. But I guess another thing that is kind of interesting to me is like how I did enjoy. I do remember thinking when I started it that I really liked the organisational side of it, and I was like, oh wow, I've made a job for myself that I feel it fulfills something in like what I want to be doing, I don't know. Then it turned out that all those systems that I put in place, almost all of them, just didn't work. So you know, after practice, things change. Yeah, I think I'm so happy to answer any questions afterwards about any of those things. But how are we for time? I can keep talking or I can stop. I've just got a few notes on how to get all the jobs, but also that's not. Well, I really just feel like I've had so many, and I'm like, I'm such a jack of all trades. And I've never been able to settle on one thing, and that was why I enjoyed sculpture as well as a discipline, that you could just do whatever you wanted and you didn't have to commit to like one medium. But in a practical sense, how to get into writing, I think just do it. And I mean, it's a lot of it all, like my story, this is definitely not how to get all the jobs, but it's what I did. And it is just, yeah, if you're into something, commit, I guess, and voice it. I think it helps. It's the most uncomfortable thing to call yourself an artist or a writer when you don't feel like one, but if it's what you're doing, then that's just do it, that's fine. People know what you're saying. And with writing, my friend Simon told me that you'll get writing gigs if you can meet a deadline, and I just thought that was so lame, but it's really true. It's it was really practical advice, which I stuck to as well, and I really appreciate that as an editor, when writers stick to their deadlines or just like keep real good communication if you're struggling, because like everything happens and you won't meet the deadline, but just let your editor know, or your person that you're submitting it to. And there's also heaps of support available from various writing platforms, including Vernacular, for emerging writers, and the Physics Room as well. We commission critical responses for our exhibitions. We've got an obligation to complete a number of those a year, so, and we do. I'm always seeking writers, so very happy for you to send me an email or a message or anything, being like, I'm into this, I don't know how to start, and then I'll just keep you in mind or put you on an email list, or you can join the monthly writing group that we facilitate at the Physics Room. And there's no pressure to be anything or do anything there, but and the technician side of things. I think if you're into it, then yeah, again, let people know. And especially if you're a woman or not a man, then there's not many of us, especially in Christchurch. And it's just cool to, yeah, cool. It's, I don't know, it's a cool little community. It is little, it's a small field, which could mean that it's competitive, but it hasn't been in my experience. If you're good to people, then they'll be good to you. And so if you're unable to do something, then pass on the work to a friend who's also in the trade. And I think that's pretty much it. Just go for it, and don't be embarrassed to ask people for jobs, like I did so much. Yeah.
Kia ora koutou. My name is Bailey. I'm a picture framer here in Otatahi and an artist, although the artist title often comes out more as a mumble these days. I just want to say thanks to the Physics Room for having me, and thanks to Honey for setting this up, and also thanks for all of you for coming along and listening to us talk about our weird stuff that we do, and also to Lee and Arissa. of being alongside me in this weirdness. As the slide reads, I'm an artist turned picture framer. It was an industry that I never saw myself entering, but now that I'm here, it's a pretty good fit. When I was asked to talk, I was encouraged to speak about my pathway into this career. And for me, that feels like quite a curvy one. So maybe I thought that we could stumble along it together and hopefully you'll find something to take away for yourselves. So my starting place. My art journey started crying over my NCA boards, but we can skip that and go to me graduating Elam School of Fine Arts, which is not too far off the NCA boards. Art school left me feeling pretty drained and deflated. I loved art making and the community I had there, but the institution definitely sucked the spirit out of me. It left me with very little joy around art, which maybe is a familiar feeling, but it's not all a sad story. In my art practice, community was a core methodology for me. It was the thing that made it worth it and made it joyous. And I bring this up because it's sort of a key value that I carried moving forward, although I didn't always know it. So after graduating, I moved back to live with my parents, as you do after graduating. And at that time, I was feeling a bit wobbly. I wasn't sure what I was doing. I didn't know where I was going to move into or what I wanted to do. I still felt at my core that I was an artist, but yeah, I didn't know where to place that. So I was flip-flopping around, and I decided to move back to Tamaki. And when I moved there, I needed an income because I was living in one of the most expensive places to live in New Zealand. So a friend of mine was leaving her job at a picture framer's and I needed a job. So the puzzle pieces sort of fit together. And at this time, I still held the dream of being a full-time artist, as jaded as I was. But this job just felt like a means to an end. It didn't feel like my career. But as soon as I got the job, I actually started to notice framing. It really wasn't until this that I developed an appreciation for framing and its powers. I also developed my love of lousy framing, which, like this beautiful, remarkable motorbike framed in the pub toilet, is one of many photos I have on my phone of hilarious framing. And when I was at Elam, I never actually approached the workshop because it always felt like an intimidating space for me, but I knew that I loved working with my hands, so that was an exciting aspect of the new role. And when I started working, I worked for quite a terrible boss. The pay was shit, and the jobs I was made to do were shitter. I stuck it out. I was making 20 to 30 white, ready-made frames a day in sizes A4 to A1, all while serving customers and selling prints of Marilyn Monroe blowing a bubble. So stunning. I was lucky, though, because where I started out, the framing standard was incredibly high. We were a pretty small and unknown framers in the scheme of Auckland framing, but the systems that we used there were a total nightmare. It was a paper trail and completely manual, and as I said, my boss was pretty terrible. After working there for a few years, I had the framing down, but I really wanted the systems to improve, and I had so many ideas that I put forward. A lot of them were turned away, or reluctantly implemented, and I was constantly thinking to myself, if I was running things, this is how I would do it. This is what would work for me. But ultimately, I love picture framing. I loved it. It was actually a great fit for someone that loved working with their hands. And the side to framing that I loved so much was that I got to frame art for the people that I loved.
a lot of my friends are artists, and so I was framing art for them, and that was always so special because I wasn't only doing those frames, I was actually being able to be a part of when they were being shown as well. And one of the standout shows that I framed for, which is just me being sentimental, was the framing for my partner's works for a show that we hosted at our house. There were 16 custom frames in total, one of them being a set of 4 slices of bread that, if some of you have visited the Ernest workshop, you will have seen hanging. It was great to be part of this show, and it completely affirmed what I loved about framing in life. And I think it sort of inspired me to make a change. So it was time to move on. I was burnt out from living in Auckland and my yuck working environment, and I made the decision to move to Otatahi. I decided around this time as well that maybe, just maybe, I could start up my own picture framing workshop because that felt possible here. The costs were a little bit lower and my family's here, so I just felt like I maybe had that little bit extra support. I was really scared. I didn't feel like it was something that I could do for the longest time, and I had a lot of self-doubt about it, but I was also surrounded by a lot of support, and those people encouraged me to go for it. So I did. I started Ernest Art Services, which is my custom picture framing workshop. I came up with the name, which was really hard, and registered my business, and it was official. Imposter syndrome is very real, and it's still here, and it's here right now in this room, over there. But it only takes someone reaching out to me now for framing, coming into the workshop, talking to them, and then having them pick up their frames, that sort of the reality of it sits in, and I go, oh yeah, I am a framer. A big part of starting it for me was the anxious student in me wanted to make an environment that was safe to ask questions, and sort of the realization that decisions take time and need space, and artists need time and space, and that was a big difference that I wanted to offer with my framing. But upon starting up, there was a lot of setbacks for me. It's a very odd industry. There are 2 main suppliers in New Zealand, and then there's sort of 1 smaller supplier based here. But they're not super concerned about these bespoke small guys, so it was quite hard. But luckily, there's a lot of support in the framing community, which was surprising and weird. I thought that it was just like all old dinosaurs, but it's not. There's actually some really cool framers. And that was where I found it, was actually reaching out to those people that were within the community. And I think that can be said for all sorts of industries, right? Actually reaching out to those that are in it is always going to be positive, and people only want to share what they know, I think. And so, I don't know if this is relevant to anyone, but here's a basic checklist that I wish that I had when I started a business. It's kind of the name thing, again, it's hard. You have to check if it's available, which, like, you know, I thought, Ernest, that's a weird kind of specific name. No, other people liked that name. So you have to buy it. And then there's some more boring things to follow that. You should make your business email address. Do that first, because then everything goes to the one email address and you've not got random personal email and random business email. And then just making a website, make your business card and get them printed and hand them out to your family, even though that seems embarrassing sometimes. And I put there, choose the easy way. It's easy for a reason. I think sometimes we make things hard, or we feel like they have to be hard to be good, and it's not true. Do the easy thing. And it won't be perfect. Nothing will be. But you should start now and change or expand it later. And I'm still learning that one, and it's hard.
So here are some things that I have framed, which are cool. I really enjoy running my own workshop now because I get to experiment, and that's been was the biggest setback. Because before I was just making white frames for Marilyn Monroe's face. So now I get to make some lovely works. Got a lovely Nick Austin work, Salome Tanuvasa and Aisha Green, and then a fun little offcuts, and then some family photos. So here I am. I've been up and running since October last year, so I'm pretty new, but it's been really fun getting started here. We have an awesome arts community. It really is. You guys are so cool. And very, very, I've had such a warm welcoming, which was honestly a big surprise. I guess I hadn't felt that in an arts community before, so it felt really special to be so welcomed. And I didn't get here without the support from the special people around me, and they make the difference. Community is the key. It's always there. Yeah, I really like being your framer. I love my clients and their excitement upon picking their frame. I love framing's special magic ability to make an artwork. Mostly I love that through framing I relearned my love for art and my connection to art. I realized I didn't have to be the one making to contribute and connect to art and art making. And that has been such a fulfilling realization. I was able to patch the holes left by the institution and reinflate my balloon.
Okay, kia ora koutou. My name's Lee. I hail from the deep south in Waihopai, or it could be the top of the world, depends on which way you look at it. But I'm just going to sort of walk through I'll start off by walking through my day today, and I can sort of show you on here and what that kind of looks like. And today I feel like I'm more of like a project manager, but so kind of start off currently dealing with Phantom at the moment. So Phantom billboards, bill stickers, and trying to figure out a campaign for a publication project that I've been working on for quite a while now. So that's this email up here. I guess a tip with kind of Phantom, which kind of relates, they're relatively sympathetic to arts projects. So I think currently at the moment, they're like offering me so I also have included a 45% non-profit discount. So that's quite good for like a pretty big company to be, you know, offering up. So there's room for, you know, if you have a paste up project idea and want to get it distributed across the country with more of an art leaning focus. They've done lots of different sort of poetry series and different things. So just been in comms with them for the last couple of days, and they've just sent me like a big sort of plan for series in Tamaki, Otatahi, and down in Otaputi as well. So that's sort of my first bit that I was dealing with today. The second bit, which is I work a lot on InDesign. So currently I'm working on some labels and some posters for a new cider label that's coming out from a couple of good friends of mine. And they're doing like a launch party at a local bar called Londo, and just playing around with some different ideas to show them, and they're giving me feedback and sending it back. I guess at this point, I studied graphic design at Ilam. I feel like I've been in the classroom with like quite a few of you in here potentially as well. I studied at Ilam. I graduated back in 2018, and then from there I started doing some tutoring on the first year program while I think Luke Wood was on sabbatical, and so I was just filling in, taking the first year rotation. That sort of worked out quite well and led me on to multiple contracts at the University of Canterbury, teaching across second year graphic design and then leading into third year product design as well. So going between different parts of the university. UC's also been great to me in Ilam, where I've been able to do technician work there as well. I've been able to work on projects for them, printing things, using the risograph, screen printing. And I've been quite important to my projects. So that was kind of, yeah, just a wee side to that. So today it's mainly been working on this poster design. And then the other part of today was I had a meeting with Claudia about a handing over product design. So Claudia's going to be taking over. So she graduated last year from the design school and now is going to be taking the product design paper. So there's been a few different things happening today. And then of course this. So a bit like the rest of us, we kind of like dot around different jobs. I feel like I've worked the full breadth and very thankful to the physics room and its many iterations from the different locations. I've sort of, since sort of day dot in Christchurch, being with the physics room, volunteering as like a first year, sort of like the first art opening was physics room, doing tech work with the physics room, deinstalling really toxic stuff from the windows. Thanks, Jamie. getting gassed out, but it was great. It was lots of different things. Then looking after some of their pop-up spaces out in New Brighton a couple of years ago. And I guess sort of first experiences with, I guess, like contemporary art was really the physics room and also publications, seeing their library inform so much for me from kind of first year and still kind of involved. I guess kind of to the physics room note, this is sort of like a part of a fundraiser that the physics room had back in 2019, I think it was. And at this point, I was doing quite a bit of screen printing. So the physics room approached me to do some screen prints and some prints for their fundraiser. This was a print that I did with Ollie Perkins. And probably one of my, still to this day, one of my favorite screen printing projects I've worked on. It was just great to work with Ollie and also that kind of, the physics room being the middle point to meet Ollie, then to work with him and have this really nice back and forth on how do we like matching the colors, you know, what, how we want to offset things on the print. And, you know, of course, how, you know, did he enjoy it? Yeah, just being part of that process. So that's one of the sort of side things that I've sort of done recently with the physics room. And then kind of, I guess my other sort of part of this kind of practice that I've been building has been around using the risograph, which is, some of you may know if you've seen it, it's this machine here. There's a few of them at Ilam, and I do majority of my projects using this machine and lots of printing. And so Ilam, I've done posters for advertising Ilam as a school and lots of different things using that. I've brought a few kind of little props as well that you can kind of pass around because it's nice to have something in your hand. And these are just kind of things that I've been looking at recently. So this is a bookstore and they do these really nice posters, but you can just kind of like pass them around. I just like in the format. This is a designer and publisher that I'm really into at the moment. You can just kind of pass these around. These ones are by Ed Davies. I think probably my favorite kind of artists at the moment. He's a co-facilitator curator at a reading room in Melbourne, but the screen printing quality on the stuff is amazing. Another really nice publication that I've just recently picked up, but just amazing images on like photographed on newspaper. And then this is like another one, it's just like a box thing, but by one of my favorite graphic designers, Na Kim, based out of Korea. And this one here, this one's mainly for the irregularity of the book, like the cover, they're printing on like the opposite side, like on the side you shouldn't print on. And also like a really like nerdy book thing. But the binding on this is really nice because they're using like the most minimal amount of glue to keep it together, but it's just like fine details. And this is from Perimeter Books in Melbourne. And I guess, yeah, it's another little thing. But just kind of flick through those as you feel. So back in 2020, before the lockdown, a group of friends and I, we sort of felt there was a bit of a need potentially for an artist-run space in Christchurch. And at the time, kind of pretty much the same time, I think like Paludo opened like maybe a month before we did, or a couple of months, can't remember. And they were servicing kind of a slightly different part of the arts community as well, but we all kind of like overlapped. And so we started a project called Hot Lunch. So it was myself, Millie Galbraith, and Liam Craigsman. The way we started it was literally doing paste-ups. So we went around approaching some artists that we liked, and we started producing these series here. So these are like the posters that we made. and then we'll go out, pace them up in dislocations around Christchurch. And it was kind of in us wanting to build some more layers again in Ōtautahi, in this kind of strange, kind of glassy city that it is now. And so that went on, and then COVID happened, so that kind of stopped. And then being in COVID, as soon as we got out of COVID, we just wanted to have a physical space and wanted to get really busy. So we kind of looked at lots of places in town and lots of emails, all that kind of stuff. And then we finally landed on our 227 High Street location, and we opened, I think it was like August 2020. From there, we built a program of like about 13 shows, like 3 or 4 public programs, a few parties, some gigs, and lots of ephemera as well. Lots of flyers, posters, texts, prints, images, content that we could be producing. We sort of started off, I think it was like after the first year, when we launched, we started our Boosted campaign. So that was our main source of funding, was through Boosted. And we used that to kind of keep us going. And then we applied for CNZ funding, I think twice, and didn't get it. Now I understand why we didn't get it, but I'll jump a bit more into that. But this is kind of, I'm sort of showing you this kind of how I have it on my laptop, really. So this is like the hot lunch file with all the files from every show. And it has, I guess, yeah, things like the logo progression, how we came up with sort of ideas. It's got like invitations that we made, just yeah, pretty much everything, all of our documentation in this file here. So this is kind of like, yeah, important sort of thing. And this was really important, keeping a good archive and that, keeping track of all of these things that you make or you're involved with making. But I don't really like showing this kind of stuff really on screen, because I think screens are a bit annoying. So what we did was, at the end of the project, we produced 8 of these files, the hot lunch file, I guess. So now these sit in a couple of galleries and also libraries for people to access to view. So Macmillan Brown's got one, Christchurch Art Gallery's got one, Enjoy has got one, Blue Oyster's got one, and ArtSpace has got one. And this one's a bit haggard and a bit beaten up, because I use this when I'm meeting people, and this is such a nice thing to give to, no, I'm not giving them, but like to show them the projects that I've worked on. And this is a thing that I made at Ilam as well. So it's like a laser cut folder, and then it's got all the ephemera, the list of shows, and then posters, text, images, all within that. So I will pass that around. It's a bit tricky to kind of see, but maybe we might want to look at this one afterwards on a table, because it sort of folds out. So that was sort of that. And the catalyst for doing this, so we made this back in the start of 2022, because we wanted to apply for Creative New Zealand funding. And we wanted to produce a large format publication documenting Hot Lunch and documenting the strange space that Christchurch is in right now. And I sort of like to see it as like a post-quake situation. Like, it's not that straight after the earthquake thing where there was whatever was the stuff that was happening then. We're in this kind of strange new space, and it tries to unpack a bit of that. And then we also asked sort of our artists to produce new work. So the reason for making this file was kind of to show Creative New Zealand, like, we can make something really nice and a really high quality thing. And yeah, documented that so I could put into the application. And so I guess I'll just open up the CNZ file as well, so you can have a look at that. So I guess like this little file here for this funding application, it was like the April round. Must have been submitted in February. January or February of 2020, and then we found out in April if you got the funding or not. So I knew sort of after not doing it very good two other times, like one of the times we applied for CNZ, we did it in like a day, and it was like horrific. And I was like, it's all good. And we were like trying to mismatch it all together. And then this time I kind of spent like, I don't know, it was pretty much a month most days working on it. Because there's so many people in the project, it was a lot of like emailing and building this kind of world and this idea. Like, I guess like the first little thing, like we got like letters of support. So we got a letter of support from Leah Jackson at Christchurch Art Gallery. And we also got one from Aaron Chrysler at the Ilam School of Fine Arts. like the next sort of thing that we kind of had to start thinking about were like all these questions that CNZ sort of asked. So I kind of had this like document that would just keep on working away at and changing things, adding things in. You know, we want to have 18 new page works, 17 interviews and essays, one high quality publication, 1,000 copies, all these kind of little bits. And then we just keep on kind of working at this file. Then we had to come up with things like distribution timelines and like where we want to like launch it. These are kind of slightly changed. Things have happened in between, but making that sort of stuff and like having to come up with a draft content list and like things like this have kind of changed because yeah, not everyone was confirmed, but just yeah, lots of different files and folders of things. The next one that took me quite a while to wrap my head around was kind of the budget. I think like, yeah, having to do this, but they have all this stuff on the template and I hear there's gonna be more, you're gonna get some, you have access to some workshops and stuff. But yeah, so like this whole thing, and this, when I first saw this budget template, I was like, what is this thing? And like, and then crazy numbers being spit out the end. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. But it was a lot of really, really good learning. And then we were very fortunate enough to actually receive the funding, which has allowed us to produce a pretty cool publication. So this is the file. This is the last file that I have of the publication that I sent to Hong Kong. So we proposed to print in Hong Kong. The reason kind of for that, I just like the idea of, I guess graphic design at its essence is like about reproduction and kind of like making like a lot of copies of something really. And so a lot of quite big galleries will use like overseas printers and stuff. Cost is one thing, it is slightly cheaper. But yeah, and they were also able to get a lot of more paper stocks and like details that we couldn't get into New Zealand at that time because it was weird with COVID. And we had things like we were supposed to print in China, but we couldn't get paper into China, so we had to go to Hong Kong. So there was lots of things that were kind of happening all the time. And most of my time was literally spent emailing, lots and lots of emails. We were dealing with a print broker in Melbourne called Australian Book Connection. And they do a lot of stuff with Christchurch Art Gallery, Auckland Art Gallery, DPAG. A lot of their publications that you'll see come out would have been by them or another group called Everbest. But we really like this idea of producing this really nice, high quality book. And I guess it goes back to the gallery as well. We wanted to make it this thing. And I guess artist-run spaces, they all have their own thing because there's no rules. It's quite low risk. You can just do whatever you want. I mean, we wanted to do it in such a way that we were able to have like a really nice finish to it and be back in the center of Christchurch and try those sort of things. But anyway, this is kind of like the file that I was last working with. I don't know if you can kind of see some of that. This kind of scroll is a bit slow, but yeah, this kind of thing. But there was a lot to get here. So in this whole project, we've had there's six of us that have been working on design with kind of myself leading it. So we've had Tua Tuamaka, Emma Cavern, Ryan Patrick, and myself on design. Then we had like Liam Craigsman and Millie Galbraith and myself kind of leading sort of the feel and the direction of the book. And then probably like, I guess probably the most important role was Jane Wallace, who is the editor of this publication. She like smashed it. She worked with all of our writers to produce these beautiful texts that have come out of it. And then all of the artists we showed and then the writers. So all in all, there's like 35 people that have contributed to this project. And this is kind of like just a sort of a working, I'm just quickly scrolling through, but that's that kind of project. So it's been the main baby. And I guess in between that as well, so I also do graphic design for Francis Nation as well. And I've been doing that since I left uni, which has been awesome. It's been a great, one of my, probably my main project, like main jobs has been working at Francis Nation doing that. You know, like we got like tote bags and making like physical things, and it's nice to have that outlet and work with really great people there. And being sort of the main one, and then other little contracts that I pick up, and maybe someone wants a logo or something. I'm really not good at that, and I find doing things quick is a bit of a battle, but the long duration of a project is quite fun. And I guess kind of like currently, like right now, I guess more so everything I'm putting into at the moment is kind of going towards launching of this publication called Leftovers. So like at the moment, I'm just playing around with like potential poster ideas as well. So each day, I guess going back to like how my day operates, like I'm working on so many different things. Yeah, we're gonna have some cool like bags. I don't know if you remember from primary school, your book bags. So we've got a bunch of them coming out with the book. Cause I just like, I think merchandise is great and you can have fun with it. Yeah, we've got these cool sticker packs that we've been working on. So like Ryan goes as Kid Lightning and has been working on these designs for us, and quite playful and fun. So there'll be stickers that go with the book too. And this is just kind of how I'll be operating on a daily basis, keeping on reworking things and switching between projects. And I guess the good thing about being able to get the CNZ funding for the Hot Lunch book has meant we've been able to kind of employ ourselves through that and get kind of paid from that, but definitely needing other things to do. Like I do I work a lot of dinner parties and there's lots of different things that I do on the side as well. But I guess I put most of my time into this. I guess this is like just going back to the book again, but this is like back in the factory. So this is, I was able to go and see the book being printed and do, well, it's called press pass. So you're able to like quality control everything and make sure everything's looking good and colors, and you can get them to change things. And just seeing manufacturing on like a really high level, I guess. That's like the big printer. That's me kind of okaying things. So that's kind of like the last state that I saw the book was in that sort of these large sheets. And then so like 2 weeks ago, I got sent this to okay. And so this is the book effectively with not being bound. Currently it's all back in, it's in Auckland at the moment. There's 150 that we've had air freighted just to make sure they're here in time. And then the like other 900 are being shipped back to New Zealand. But there's so many things that distribution, it's like crazy. And I'm just always, and at the moment I'm dealing with customs. I didn't realize you need to have like a customs like code and like numbers to get it released and all these things. So right now I'm currently in the heat of that, but this is kind of the final. I don't know if I want to kind of like give too much away on this, but I could like maybe pass around like a couple of little sections. So for like major books and like large scale books, I'll be printing on like 16 pages and it gets wrapped in. It's called an imposition, but this is all unbound at the moment. And it does have a really nice cover that will go on it. I don't know, I could pass a couple of things. I'll just kind of go randomly, but this was just for me to okay before they started binding. So it will be coming inbound soon. Yeah, I guess like here's like me okaying some of the different paper stocks, and it's kind of like a big mixing desk, and he just pushes buttons and it changes the pressure of the drum. It's quite amazing. But yeah, I love books. I love publishing. I'm kind of new at it, but I really enjoy making these things, and I think they're really important to make. Oh yeah, these are the guys that are been working with to print it. They're quite great. I think that's kind of a bit. Oh yeah, some other, yeah. I guess some more risograph work. These were some stuff for like Item School Fine Arts applications. So I guess for the last like X amount of year, since I've kind of left uni, I haven't really had my own practice. Like my practice has been the gallery. My design output has been the gallery and working in that space. Some more sort of recent stuff that I'm working on and want to sort of get released this year is a typeface that I've been working on, which will be happening kind of soon. But this is just sort of some sort of images from how the typeface is going to work and look. And then just me experimenting by pasting it up in places around Christchurch to get a feel for scale. I like seeing things really big. And working at like an A0 size. But that's kind of my practice, but I haven't had a lot of time to really spend on that because mostly I'm just emailing. And I email so many people, and I get hardly any responses, but I do it every day. Like I'm emailing people for distribution, I'm emailing people for like customs. Then I'm like emailing people that I just want to meet as well or that I think I want to work with. So I'll just email them. And I'll just keep on trying until they finally get back to me, or they don't. Or I just turn up on their doorstep, which I do quite often too. I'm a big fan of experimental jet set, and they don't really like any interns or like, they're just three people. But I just turned up on their doorstep and they like showed me around everything. I spent like a day with them, but I was just like really persistent on like just turning up and being like, look, yeah, let's meet and stuff. I think that's kind of the bit, yeah. Oh, I just have one more thing just to add to my end, but sorry. That was, important. Okay, so I reckon, because at the moment, like, we need another space, or we need something. We just need something happening, okay? And like, there's enough people in here right now just to start something. And that's actually why I brought this one in. I thought this would be super cool and super easy. And I'm sure there's a graphic designer or two in here. I'm sure there's some photographers in here. Sure, there's some painters, sculptors, whatever. But making like a cool, like, you could just do one. Start off with one and make like a nice, like, boxy mailer situation. I don't know, and just having like different people's work maybe. I'm not too sure. But this is like a great collection of things. And I just really loved how they're like screen printing directly onto like this cardboard. But it could be something of like some, I don't know, a file or something. I'm not too sure. But in like different paper stocks and like little things. And it doesn't have to be a physical space, but it could build towards that. And I think that's kind of why we did the paste up project, was to sort of build towards that. But I reckon it's like super, in Christchurch, you can do anything here. It's like, it's, everything's so doable, so doable. And you can like beam things out anywhere you want from here as well. So we have really good quality. That was what I was meant to say as well. Only high quality stuff comes out of Christchurch, only.
And good beaming ability.
Good beaming ability, 100%, yeah, definitely. So, yeah, sorry.